Even the most superficial look at the freight business lately shows the importance of shipping by container. So much freight that is not raw materials is handled in containers, on trains, on ships, on trucks. It's the ship part that concerns Oregon at the moment. The operators of the container terminal at the Port of Portland called it quits earlier this year, which sounds at face value like a Portland area problem. But containers from across the state moved through that port, and without the port, they have to go somewhere else. The state and several entities are working to alleviate the situation, including the Agriculture Transportation Coalition, of which Peter Friedman is the executive director and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Hi, Peter. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. How are you, Jeff?
Doing well, thank you. Give us a brief sketch, if you would, of the coalition. Who makes up the membership and what you do?
We found that transportation is really foundational to our entire society and economy, and nowhere more so than in the area of agriculture and forest products. The AGCC, as we call it, is a national organization established about 23 years ago, and includes the interests of agriculture importers and exporters, forest products as well, from some of the smallest, such as a family-run almond orchard, to some of the largest corporations in the world, Louis Dreyfus, International Paper, and so forth. We conduct workshops all around the country, and a particularly active contingent in the Pacific Northwest and in Oregon, representing, again, lumber, seeds, hay, alfalfa, fresh fruit and vegetables, filbert, you name it, it's all impacted. Our basic thrust is this. We can grow the best products in the world. We can process the best products in the world in agriculture and forest products. But if we cannot deliver it to our foreign customers economically, affordably, dependably, then those foreign customers are going to go someplace else in the world for that supply. There's nothing we produce in this country that cannot be sourced somewhere else in the world. That's our challenge.
And so of the products you listed, I mean, what percentage of those go to export from the state of Oregon?
A huge percentage. For example, let's just take, for example, almonds, and then you can also include in that hazelnuts if you wish. 13 years ago, there was a West Coast port shutdown. Japanese candy makers, confectioners, could not get the California and Oregon nuts that they use in the candy there, which are the best nuts in terms of fat content and so forth, the best, healthiest nuts in the world. The Japanese confectioners couldn't get it because their ports weren't operating, but they continued to make candy bars in Japan. They simply turned to Turkey for their supply. And to this day, 13 years later, there are some almond and hazelnut producers, growers, exporters who have not been able to recover those lost Japanese customers. That's what's at stake. When it comes to products such as hay, Oregon is one of the largest suppliers in the world of hay and grass seed. We export from Oregon literally thousands of container loads. These are the 40-foot-long containers, sometimes the 20-foot-long containers of hay and seed from Oregon alone each year.
Peter Friedman's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He's the executive director at the Agriculture Transportation Coalition, or AGTC. Peter, what happened at the Port of Portland?
Well, West Coast ports, all of the West Coast ports, have faced slowdowns and disruptions over the course of last year when the six-year-long longshore labor contract expired and a new one was being negotiated. However, in L.A. and Long Beach, the largest port complex in the country, which handles 82% of the containers coming in and out of the West Coast, things are getting back to normal. Same in Seattle and Tacoma, getting back to normal. In Oakland, great disruption, and that certainly impacts exporters out of Oregon, particularly southern Oregon. There is still a great deal of labor controversy and disruption at the Port of Oakland. And in Portland, which when it had the ocean container serviced about 1% of the West Coast containers, but it was an important West 1% for organ exporters. There was labor disruption, frankly, and labor and the marine terminal management have not been able to see eye to eye. There is now remaining one ocean carrier that calls on the Columbia River with container service. It's a very small service, only 200 containers a month, whereas a major ship handles 5,000-6,000 containers each voyage and will have several voyages during the month. Gives you an idea of what's remaining, which is not much in terms of service capacity in the Columbia River.
And this is caused by Hanjin and Hapag-Lloyd getting out of the port of Portland. I understand that of the 36 counties in Oregon, 31 of them actually ship products in and out through the port of Portland, through the container shipping port?
Right. Most people who import and export into Oregon have used the Columbia River container service, even if they also use the Puget Sound vessel service into the ports of Seattle and Tacoma. Seattle and Tacoma have many more ocean carriers offering more origins and more destinations and have always been used by Oregon exporters and importers. But that Port of Portland service has always been an important, at least safety valve, and for some products, the primary means of accessing the foreign market.
We're talking again with Peter Friedman, who's the executive director at AgTC, the Agriculture Transportation Coalition, talking about the issue faced by Oregon exporters from the agriculture business primarily, not being able to ship containers mostly out of the port of Portland. You can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. So if we're talking import and export, it's not like you can get this a different way. At some point, the containers have to get on ships. And it sounds like with the other West Coast ports, Oakland, Tacoma, Seattle, for example, that it's not an easy thing to just say, okay, we'll skip Portland and go on to the next place.
Well, particularly if one is in Southern Oregon, the alternative, frankly, is Seattle and Tacoma for two reasons. One is going down to Oakland is difficult because California, unlike Washington, Oregon, Idaho, Utah, has strict truck weight limits that are artificially reducing the allowable weight on the roads in California. So it renders trucking of the heavy products that we produce in Oregon, potatoes and all the others I mentioned, compressed hay, the lumber, renders it uneconomic to run those trucks down to Oakland, which leaves the alternative of going up to Puget Sound. There are limits on the number of hours a truck driver can drive. When Portland is in operation, one can get from Southern Oregon up to Portland, drop the container, export container off, pick up an empty one, and bring it back down to Southern Oregon in one shift. If you add another 3.5 hours going north from Portland up to Tacoma or Seattle, and then back, that is too long a ride to go up and back in one shift of the driver, because the driver can only drive 11 hours. So that means you've now got somebody having to stay overnight up there in Puget Sound and then head back down to Southern Oregon. Again, it doubles your trucking cost, losing the Portland port call. That's what's really at stake here and why Southern Oregon in particular is impacted by the lack of vessel service, container vessel service, into the Columbia River.
The truck weight limits you cite for California, I mean, a container's a container, but, I mean, we're talking limits on interstate highways or on local roads or where?
The limits are on the interstate highway and local roads. Idaho allows 105,000 pounds gross vehicle weight. Washington, Oregon, Utah, and a number of other states allowed 96,000 pounds gross vehicle weight. And what's in the container makes all the difference. You can certainly stuff a lot of cargo into a container and put the whole cargo, the truck, the container, all over a weight limit. So the Oregon products, as I mentioned, are heavy. none of those containers of lumber or compressed hay cube are completely full, because if they filled them up, they would be over the weight limits that are allowed in a container on a ship or in a on a truck transported on our highways. When you are moving cargo from southern Oregon north to the ports, you have to move it, if you're going to move it heavier than the 80,000-pound gross vehicle weight limit that exists in California and Oregon and other places. If you're going to exceed that in Oregon and Washington, you have to have it on a special chassis or trailer to haul that container. It has a third axle. It spreads the load evenly on the roadway. It reduces the wear and tear on the roadway. It is the system that's used in Canada, in Western Europe, in the developed countries. It allows for a safe carriage of those heavy cargoes coming out of southern Oregon, safe, and does not increase the wear and tear on the roads.
All right, so California's still at 80,000 pounds, which was the federal standard for a long time. Peter Friedman's our guest on The Exchange. AgTC is his organization, the Agriculture Transportation Coalition. We're talking about shipping through the container port of Portland, which is generally out of the container business at the moment, with a very small exception. 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. So there's a series of meetings around the state, I understand, meant to talk to potential shippers or people who are already shipping. One in Albany, I see, tonight from 6:30 to 8 o'clock. One in Medford tomorrow at the Inn of the Commons from 4:30 in the afternoon until 6. And is AgTC involved with these?
Very much so. And actually, I'm serving as the moderator for all these workshops. The first one was in Portland. About 160 people showed up there. The Oregonian actually wrote its lead editorial on the impact of losing this container service on the Oregon economy. And we've gone around the state. We've done one in Redmond, in Hermiston. Last night was in Ontario, and then tonight Albany, as you mentioned, which we expect a lot of people attending, all the hay exporters, and then Medford. On Wednesday night, and these are open forums. There's no charge. People should come, and particularly anybody who exports, imports, or even moves cargo domestically. And we're finding that Oregon has great diversity in the cargoes and in the customer base, whether some people are sending to China or Japan, or some people are importing from Korea, or just shipping domestically. Everybody's being impacted by the challenges that exist today in trucking nationally, which are severely impacting all the Pacific Northwest agriculture, forest products, and manufacturers, as well as and exacerbated by the loss of the container service in the Columbia River.
We have an email here from Mike in Medford. He says, this seems like a prime opportunity for struggling Coos Bay. How could Southern Oregon produce its own shipping operation from Medford to the coast? He points out that China recently installed a magnetic levitation conveyor belt that moves goods hundreds of miles from the east. This could potentially surpass truck shipping in our delicate region. What about another port developing a container terminal like Coos Bay? Is that a possibility?
Frankly, Coos Bay's looked at this previously, and actually I was very supportive of that. We're very supportive of these other options, and Coos Bay has a tremendous port right at the ocean. Portland's about 90 to 100 miles inland from the ocean, which all takes time, and the ocean carriers don't like to spend the time going up and down. Even Puget Sound is inland. Coos Bay is mile 7 from the ocean. There's no port closer to the ocean than Coos Bay. On the entire West Coast, it has a natural, it has a good deep draft and can get deeper. It's an excellent location. Here's the difficulty. Ships are getting bigger. The investments are hundreds of millions of dollars. And if one wants to see what the smallest competitive container port on the West Coast is today, go up and look at Seattle and Tacoma and what they have there, and you will be amazed at the infrastructure that's involved. And that's the smallest on the West Coast. Oakland is bigger. L.A., Long Beach are bigger. The other one is you have to have excellent rail connections, really with a Class 1 railroad, and you have to have excellent highway connections. So you really have to have an I-5 type of freeway going right from I-5, basically, right into Coos Bay, because you still have to have that trucking capacity. Now, the maglev option, all those are great. Again, hundreds of millions of dollars of investment before you even have access to the port. If you could have that access built, either a Class 1 railroad, UP or BN, allowing for double stacking of containers on rail cars, which means higher clearances in all the tunnels than currently exist, and you have the rail that can move at the full rail rate, speed rate, and you have that four-lane freeway, straight shot, 65, 70-mile-an-hour runs. If you have all that, and you can see that's quite a hurdle right there, then you would have hundreds of millions of dollars of investment in these massive container cranes that are required. If you had all that, it would be a fantastic port. There is no question about it.
All right, so it obviously takes a lot more infrastructure than Coos Bay is probably ready to deliver on at the moment. But it's
a great port for bulk shipping, and that is, bulk shipping is not a regular container service, and you don't need the investment. And Coos Bay has been very successful in bulk shipping of wood chips and logs, and there's no reason it could not be successful in moving grain and other products, bulk shipping by grain.
All right, so container shippers who are interested in these meetings, one in Albany tonight, 6:30 to 8 p.m. What's the location there?
It's at the Linn County Fairgrounds.
Okay, and then Medford tomorrow, 4:30 to 6 at the Inn at the Commons. Peter Friedman is the Executive Director of the Agriculture Transportation Coalition, moderating these meetings across the state of Oregon to help shippers get out through the Port of Portland. Peter, thank you.
Thank you.